Hey folks, I hope everyone's doing well in the midst of these historic times. We are probably getting to know our family in ways that we never imagined simply because of how much time we're spending with each other. I would imagine there's some interesting dynamics at play. But because of that, I've settled on a particular topic to talk to you this morning regarding our attitude, the type of attitude that we have towards each other. But it's bigger than that. It's really an attitude that God has called us to, a character, a component of our nature and our character that God has called us to as a daily part of how we live life under his banner, so to speak. And so this morning we're going to talk a little bit about humility and something that goes right along with that, being contrite or contrite, depending on whether you were raised on the East Coast or West Coast. I don't know if that's really the case, but might be. Let's start with Isaiah 57 and take a look just briefly at one of the verses here. Isaiah 57, it says that, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones." Look at that just a little bit more in detail. First of all, he says that he dwells with, in the high and holy place, with those who have a contrite and humble spirit. And then he goes on to infer that the contrite and the humble will get worn out. It's an aspect of human nature. It's a part of our fragile design and our imperfect surroundings, which is why he goes on to say that dwelling with him, being in close proximity to him, he will revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite. Let's put that in human terms. As we go through life, difficult circumstances, protracted times or seasons of unforeseeable challenges and disappointments, whatever it may be, the very fact that we may be walking close with God, we should not judge our proximity to him based on whether we are weary and worn out or not. So listen closely. God is giving us a beautiful glimpse of how he interacts with our human nature, that even though we may be with him, in this scripture it says, "I dwell in the high and holy place," meaning God, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He dwells in the high and holy place with you, with me, with those of us who have a contrite and humble spirit. So we are dwelling together, and yet at the same time, because we are living and interacting in such a broken and imperfect world, he knows that we will become worn out and weary and weak. And he says, in this place of dwelling with you, I will revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one. Daniel 10, this is very interesting. Daniel 10, he said, it says in a bit further down in the chapter, it says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. This is when the angel came and came onto the scene, introduced himself to Daniel. He said, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. In other words, the requests that you made were heard. And then it says this, very interesting. I have come because of your words. It's when you look that up in the closer to the original language, it can very well, very, very easily be described as, I have come to hear your case, or I have agreed to engage your case. Interesting. So the angel arrives, introduces himself, says, don't be afraid. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, let me put it like this. Your words caught God's ear, and he agreed to hear your case. And that was because Daniel's heart was set to understand. I believe that the inference there is to understand the Lord's purpose, to understand how God was working through those circumstances. And in that sense, Daniel was humbling himself before God. He wasn't blaming God. He wasn't complaining to God. He sought to understand how God was working in that situation, how God would be glorified through that situation, and in that place was coming before God in humility. Very powerful, very powerful. 1 Peter 5 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the almighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, exaltation and humility, generally in worldly terms, we don't think of the two as dwelling in the same space and time. But in God's world, the humble, as we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, he will exalt us. He will lift us up. He will put us in a place of favor, of fame, of notoriety in his time, in due time. And then last, second to last here, James 4, he says that he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God's grace is so important to us and for us to be working and flowing in us and through us. Philippians 2 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Powerful. There is another scripture here where we know it very, very well in Matthew 11, starting at verse 25. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He was being accused. And instead of answering the accuser, instead of defending himself, instead of pointing your finger at them, he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then here's these very well-known words. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We go back and look at verse 28. He says, come to me. Now, the phrase come to me is a command based in urgency and authority. When we let the dogs out, one at a time now, Grace in particular, my grandson, Whitney, many times when he's there, will be rounding up Whitney and rounding up Gracie, sorry. And he'll hear Pop-Pop say, Gracie, come! And I'll yell it at the top of my lungs. It's a command. It's a done in urgency and authority. And we know that Gracie is out there maybe finding a deer trail or doing what she's doing, using the restroom, so to speak. And it's important that we call Gracie with urgency and authority so that she listens. The most acute reflection of my call of urgency and authority is hearing this little voice beside me copy exactly what Pop-Up does. And you hear this this little four-year-old voice call with urgency, the same urgency and authority as Pop-Up. Gracie, come! And his voice echoes through the woods, and he is so proud of himself that he is he is communicating with the same urgency and authority as Papa. Well, that's what Jesus did. He was communicating with urgency and authority. And he said, come to me, all you who what? Who labor and are heavy laden. Now, what's the value of him describing us as those who are weary, tired, exhausted, which is the more descriptive version of that particular phrase. Remember back in Isaiah, when it says, it talks about those who dwell with him in the high and holy place, that he will revive our souls, our spirits, and he'll revive us. Well, again, the inference is that even dwelling with God in his most intimate place, we will. It's a part of the nature that we live on this earth. We will grow weary and tired. And our natural response, our natural inclination is for what? When we grow weary and tired, to become aggravated, possibly angry, irritated, short with others, unkind. We lose our sense of love and compassion and kindness towards others. It's just such a, it's difficult to observe. And I'm sure if I or you are the one that are walking in that, it's, you look back and you think, oh my, why did I do that? Why did I say that? The words you can never take back, the attitude that you can ask forgiveness for, but you don't have a redo. It has reached its intended victim. It has done the desired damage. It has somehow made you feel better. I don't know how that works. I don't know anyone that it makes really feel better, but for some reason it satisfies a something in us that, because I am tired, because I'm feeling broken, because I'm feeling frustrated and anger, the fact that I'm able to damage someone else makes me feel something that is what I'm looking, I don't know, guys, folks, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how to communicate it. It's not something that any of us should want or desire. Any outcome that comes from speaking words that are short and angry and irritated and destructive have no value. No, there's nothing in that that releases anything good towards anyone else. It is just intended on breaking and damaging and wounding who and what is around us. And so that's why the Lord says with urgency and with authority, he says, come to me, those of you who find yourself tired, exhausted, weary, heavily burdened with toil or burdens or grief. He says, come to me. Don't take it out on someone you love. Don't take it out on someone who God has created. They don't deserve what you think you want to give them when it is damaging and hurtful. God said, come to me. And he says, I will give you rest. That's what you need. I will give you rest. And he says, by inference, take off the yoke take off the burden, the weight that has brought you to this place of weariness, of exhaustion. And he says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Before, listen, we the times that we are in just lead to it. It adds, it heaps on us, if we are willing to take it, stress and anxiety and irritation. It just adds to what we would normally experience in daily life without the shelter and home commands and the wearing of masks and rubber gloves everywhere you go, and the fear and the anxiety of contracting this virus. And so because of that, this message is so much more desperately needed that we hear that when we get to those times where we are worn out, they seem to come more frequently, more often, with greater weight, that we remember his words. Gracie, come! No, those aren't his words. But it's with the same authority, the same desire for God to say, God saying, come to me. Don't take it out on those you love. Don't take your frustration out on them. Say, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take off your yoke and put on mine. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God, thank you for these words. Thank you for the scripture, for the invitation. Not the invitation, the desire, the command that you give us to come to you. God, these times of need and lack, these times where we are finding out deeper and deeper who we are and who you are, we ask, God, we would remember the simplicity of your word, that we would not become confused by the complexities of life. We would just remember to take your yoke, because it is easy, and your burden, because it is light. That we would remember to come to you as Daniel did, with humility, and trust and know that you will hear our words and you will take our case. Father, be with all of us, with those who, family members, co-workers, God, those of us, all those that we touch. We ask for continued safety through this time, that we would be the light that you've called us to be in the communities that we reside, in the households that we live. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget to go on to the Facebook part where you're able to give through tithes and offering. Hopefully in May, we'll be able to begin regathering as a fellowship. Sure miss everybody. Love you all. Joyce and I and the kids, we extend our love to everybody. Bye-bye.